love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and yes, you know, this is yet another week of mailbox full, which is yet another week of indicating E-Systems Rouse South is probably no longer, and I haven't tried to pursue this to find out more, because it scares me. It really does scare me. I had an interesting weekend, and I do think things are about to change radically. So first, the lighter stuff. Lighter stuff. I want to leave you three videos. One, Syria intends to join BRICS. This again is Kevork Elnassian of Syriana Analysis. He is periodically interviewed on RT. It's interesting because he took the video of his interview from RT, blurred the RT logo and put it on his YouTube channel because RT is censored on YouTube. And, you know, I got it off of YouTube, so it worked. Well, you know, I think simply he doesn't mention the source and things of that nature. So, but yes, that's RT. Anyway, but so it was an interesting discussion. But one of the things I noticed, again, I respect this guy. I think he does a very good job. And it seems that what he did in that interview is he probably had this, you know, planned out, because he dropped a lot of hints on a lot of subjects. Because one of the things he does pretty well is give a little bit more context, more history on subject matter, which I think is a great thing to do. Because, for example, just a couple things that there was more, but a couple things that stood out. He mentioned, he just simply used the expression of what's going on. You know, the idea of Syria joining BRICS is a big deal. It really is a big deal. Because, you know, BRICS started out as, well, it's five countries, and then slowly but surely a few others have been added on. And now that number is exploding. So the Western hegemony is rapidly crumbling, which also means the U.S. dollar is going to rapidly crumble. But he mentioned, just simply in passing, used the expression grand chessboard. And he didn't say where it came from. But I would suggest the reason he used that term is because the audience he has that knows the subject matter knows exactly where it comes from. It's a book, literal book, from Zbigniew Brzezinski, you know, who, you know, Brzezinski and, great, what's his name? so good with names, aren't I? You know, the guy, he just turned 100 years old. One is the Democrat, one's the Republican version. But they're basically mirror images of each other. You know, it's the world domination mentality. But in his Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, he's talking about how to basically take over the worlds. You know, from starting mostly in Asia and Europe. But the other thing he mentioned was Libya. And, of course, mentioned the currency thing, because I think from my understanding, and I haven't gone and, you know, I've only done light duty on this, but that's probably a whole lot more than the vast majority, especially of Americans. The reason that we had the collapse of Libya or the invasion and the destruction of Libya by NATO, by the U.S., had nothing to do with, Gaddafi is bad or things of that nature. Had everything to do with Gaddafi was starting to bring in a African currency to sever Africa from the dominance of the petrodollar. And it's kind of like, no, you can't do that. You know, and so what is the response? You know, as Hillary Clinton said, you know, we came, we saw, he died. Which was extremely cruel, because what they did was a massacre of that man. It was really a disgusting way to put somebody to death. You know, it's anyway, from what I understand, a lot of things were done in a roughly similar way to in Italy, Mussolini. When he was killed, it wasn't very pleasant. But anyway, so I find that I suggest it was a very informative interaction. I'll leave it at that before this gets to 2 hours. The other thing is, and I don't know if I pronounced her name right, Gada Shaheda. She's a woman who on Thunderbolts has done some very interesting videos. This one is part of several. And because it's the power of predominant science. And she goes into the idea that science is established, the scientific community has established these particular tenets. Don't question. You know, you can't question them because our structure is built on these foundations. You know, don't question the Big Bang. Don't question the gravitational model. You know, it's a lot of things she mentioned. And the way she did it, I think, was superbly done. Because it relates to, you know, very, very much, you know, you go back to Eisenhower's military-industrial complex speech. What is the other part of that? That he said, you have to guard against the institutionalization of, you know, I think he used the garage tinkerer or something of that nature. The individuals who could do things. Well, how, you know, do I relate to this at all? I don't know. Because we move it to the institution, where the institution takes control of any kind of engineering, science, and so forth. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, it's interesting. So Eisenhower's talked about it in the sense of the military-industrial complex, you know, and you see it with the medical field and so forth. All these things have been institutionalized. And if you go against the institution, you're toast. But when you look at that video, there's some hints of another institution that does the exact same thing. Religious institutions. Because you see, it's she actually mentions them, you know. Not as, this is my point, but it's related. It's definitely related. Because, again, the institution of the institutional church will have a dogma. And that dogma is its foundation. Take something, you know, blatantly obvious, the tithe. Don't question that. No. Don't question that. That's our income. Don't do that. So, you know, and there obviously so many things, but the relationship of that, I think, is just phenomenal. So what you see in the scientific community, what you see in so many other communities, you can see it in the church industrial complex. Anyway, and just related to that, not as strongly, but there's this one video that I saw from Al Jazeera, What Makes a Cult? And I, you know, saw the title, says, I got to watch that. Because obviously this is in reference to the things that have happened in Kenya, and I think their numbers are about 400 now. And what she does, she also relates it to Jim Jones. You know, it was, that was interesting. And I didn't realize Jim Jones was just 900 and some. And so they're about 400, so he's still an amateur. But anyway, it's interesting. And the big concern, because, and I think this kind of hints at it a bit, my big concern is, one, is this what Christianity is? No, I'm sorry, it's not. But two, there is this underlying hint, we have to regulate the church. It seems to me, from what I see, you know, obviously places like, you know, China, don't, you know, church, don't know. The church is literally regulated in China. There is more freedom in other countries. But a lot of countries, you know, in the West, you know, there's a lot of regulation. In the U.S., it's the 501c3, c4, whatever. that joins the institutional church and the government together on paper. But, you know, it's a muzzle. I mean, that's, you know, Senator Johnson at the time, that was his purpose, his stated purpose, to muzzle the institutional church. And, you know, it's been pretty effective. But I think it seems that most places in Africa, the church is far more free. You know, it's obviously because there's the issue going on right now in right next to DRC. It's not Sudan. It's anyway, the country next door. There was just another attack by ISIS affiliated, or it could have been Boko Haram. I'm not sure on that. Went and attacked a school. I don't know if it's a Christian school, but they attacked a school, killed a whole bunch of people, and stole some or kidnapped some girls. And I don't think it was to take them to a party. Well, maybe, and you know, wrong kind of party. But so it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. But the I think one of the issues you have there is there seems to be more freedom in Africa. One of my concerns I'm seeing, and I don't know it because I don't know the culture at all, but it seems there's a whole bunch of people put their kids in Christian schools. And that gives me a bit of concern. But again, I don't know the culture well. So what I hear, I'm concerned, but I don't know the context well. Anyway, so I think those things are interesting. Saturday, I went to the farmer's market. And, you know, I brought some cards. And I had some dialogues. I get a sense that things are about to change. For the better, for the worse, I don't know. But, you know, when I went to that church event, that was such... I was thinking about it today as I was walking to the mailbox. I was thinking about it today because as a naive guy I was maybe 19, 20. Yeah, I think about 20, maybe 21. I don't know. No, anyways, about that age. And I was in Athens, Greece. Knew very little about Christianity. And, you know, went to the Acropolis. And I didn't realize at the time that I was really near. I mean, we're talking hundreds of feet from the place that the Apostle Paul interacted in the realm of Acts 17. And, you know, one of the things he did is he went to the marketplace. And one of the things I'm finding, interactions, reasonable, rational interactions, not when I show up at institutional churches, which I've done only a couple times in the last several years, in the marketplace. And it's been more than the farmer's market. It's been other places. But I'm finding, because of the fact I'm a little, it's interesting. One of the things that was said in one of the dialogues, one gentleman said, well, you know, I'm so much of an introvert. And I said, so am I. Or I was. But I made a concerted effort to say, no, I can't do this. I must engage people. Because a lot of people know me as someone who will actually show up and talk to you. And it's not just simply, oh, you're over there, I'm going to try to avoid you. It's, oh, you're over there, I'm going to you. I seek after people, strangers, to interact with them. And it's not because it's my nature. I'm going against my nature because I am convinced. It's like, you know, it's like the normal thing. You see the Mormon missionaries, the Mormon elders, and you say, I'm going to try to run and hide. I approach them. And that's not because, you know, I try to avoid an arrogance in doing that. I want to do this. I want to do this fundamentally as an act of love. So it's become a discipline. At the farmer's market, again, you know, there's a number of people that I've engaged there and that I've met again later. And relationships have formed. I've interacted with especially a couple guys that are involved with this MTOI, which seems to be pretty overtly a cult. But I engage them. I try to engage them rationally and lovingly. When I had the card there, one of the purposes of the card is for people to go, and then now I can go privately and examine this further. And obviously, one of the things they will see is the modern day slavery video. So that's definitely a door opener. And, you know, some of the people I deal with are currently or have previously worked for Mars. You know, and of course you watch that video and here's the picture of the Mars plant. So yeah, I used to work there, and he's saying they use slave labor. Ooh, this is uncomfortable. So you have to do it with grace. I had a couple dialogues and we got on, you know, it's interesting because I don't think I directed it this way, but it turned into this, the talk about politics. And of course, you know, I took make the stand. You know, I mentioned, you know, the First Samuel 8, Deuteronomy 17, and Genesis 1. And one person said, I'm still going to vote. They didn't engage me that deeply, but I'm still going to vote. Basically, I don't believe you. Another person later said, as things were closing down, what chapter again was that? And specifically the First Samuel 8. Because I mentioned the line in there, if you vote, the way it concludes, When you ask, for my help, I will not hear you. It's kind of, I don't want to go there. So that was mentioned, and so my guess is that dialogue will continue next Saturday. And so that's interesting, and there were some others. Including one, I sent my postcard to George today, and this relates to one of those interactions. George, there's hope that this Sunday I'll be at the top of Big Frog Mountain with a guy closer to your age than mine. Let's do it together. How about December 8th? Love, Dan. Important part. When we looked at the weather report, it's kind of like rain. And now, the latest weather report, there's one day without rain. Sunday. The day we were considering. And I'm wondering if the Lord was saying, this is going to happen. I have plans with a young guy in his 20s. Enthusiastic guy. For him and I to hike Big Frog Mountain this Sunday. The word wow comes to mind. I've talked with Chris because he has that walking stick. I've arranged, he's planning to be here perhaps in Cleveland to do some of his work tomorrow, Wednesday. And so planning to drop off his walking stick because I have that Gandalf photo. I got to include that. Me leaning against the stick, you know, with the not quite as dramatic beard, but with the Gandalf pose. And this was a few hundred feet down from the top on the return. But anyway, maybe not a few hundred feet. Maybe only a couple hundred feet. Anyway, but so... He's providing me this because again, going up the hill is not a problem. coming down has been a real problem. I don't do downhill well. So he's providing that stick, and we've had some tremendous dialogue on this. One issue has been, and it's been, you know, of course, it's been the laugh issue. I've been up with Chris to the top of Big Frog Mountain. Tremendous joy, 3 times. It's been a tremendous joy to do it with anyone, except, you know, obviously I'd love to, I want to do it with George or other members of my family. But if there's anybody else I want to do it with, it's with Chris. You know, my closest relationship I have is Chris. The fellowship with Chris is just phenomenal. But he also did it one other time with his uncle, who's roughly the same age as him, I think. So he's been up there 4 times. I've only been up there 3, and I get to tie the score. And that's been the laugh. You know, of course, that's been a laugh. But there's that. There is the encouragement, because I'm going to go up there with this young guy, Lord willing. And the dialogue, because the dialogues we've had thus far, I'm not talking with somebody who is but he has some interest in life. And so I really wonder, it seems there may be fostering a good relationship, even though we're of a different generation. And I find this delightful. I find it really delightful. I find it very encouraging. So, Lord willing, Sunday. You know, we've made plans to be at the top of Big Frog many times, and it didn't happen. If it doesn't happen this Sunday, considering the enthusiastic response and subsequent emails, if it doesn't happen this weekend, it'll happen shortly thereafter. But my guess is this Sunday or sometime in the near future, I'll be on the top of Big Frog Mountain with a new friend. And I find great joy in that. One of the things, you know, I was having pains in my legs years ago. And I was wondering, what do I do about this? Did some study and so forth. And read a little bit about one of the ways to perhaps cure this, drink a glass of wine. So I started doing that. And it was the kind of thing where I said, okay, I'm going to try it a little bit, a month or so, and it worked. I said, did it work? So I stopped for about 2 or 3 weeks. Pains came back. And then from that point on, grab some more wine. Pains went away again. And, you know, however, because of funding issues, I've only had maybe 2 bottles of wine this year. And I'm having pains in my legs. So Sunday, you know, Father's Day, I figured, okay, I'm going to celebrate a bit. I'm going to buy myself a gift. I bought a bottle of wine. And I noticed today, because I have a small glass because I wanted to stretch it out for the week, pains have my legs dropped radically. And this would be a good week for that, you know, to because, you know, I may be doing some hiking this weekend. You know, I did the 7 miles Saturday, Sunday, 4 miles Saturday, 7 miles Sunday. And, you know, I'm fine. You know, I came back. I did more jumping jacks and whatnot. So I can do it. I notice that what I do notice is the stop and start. That's become a real killer. If I stop, if I walk several miles, stop, and then start again, that's hard. So my big concern is going to the top of Big Frog, you know, 5.5 miles, plus the 1/2 mile up, have some time up there, and start back. However, it seems that the start back is hard. And it was the last time we were up there, which has been a little over a year ago now. but after half mile, mile, things get back to normal. So I'm optimistic that the trip will be fine. My guess is I'll have a really good sleep that night. And my guess is that my friend will have far less of an impact on him than me. But I have a plan this Sunday to be at the top of Big Frog. That is a really big deal. And one last thing in relating to, because I've passed out the cards, and you know, I mentioned a number of things. Maybe the most blatant that's going to be applicable here in Cleveland is the fact I mentioned the Mars plant. But people have known, because I mentioned that to others in the past, before the video. But that's an issue. But some of the other issues that were mentioned in that video are coming up. And it's been a reminder this is not a game. Somebody told me, I heard about this, somebody related to, I think it's, you know, Biden and the Burisma oil thing or something of that nature, suddenly died. And there's, it's also been mentioned that there's this doctor that did a lot of stuff about this COVID is a fallacy, and vaccines are killers and whatnot. And he even went to the point that said, if you find that I'm suddenly dead, it's not because, you know, he says, I'm a happy fellow. I don't have health issues. And I'm not going to take my own life. A few days later, he was dead. I don't follow these people that much. So, but some of those things were brought up, especially with the stuff that I'm promoting. And, you know, it is the idea that when I've sought people to say, look at the technology with me. You know, and I think the number 7 people who said, yeah, I will, but never came to the table. We never arranged, you know, I said, yeah, well, we okay. Never came to the table. And then the one indirect reference I got was, yeah, I took a brief look at it and scares the living daylights out of me. It's a line that was echoed to me. So, you know, apparently, it seems that people understand I'm playing with fire. And I suggest, again, somebody in the field will understand my Are the Holes in Tor Intentional article. That's like, in a sense, pointing out evidence that the COVID vaccine is a killer. It's the same realm. A different field. And the issue is, I think people have a vague idea about vaccines, immunizations, but very little an idea. What is Tor? What's Tor? I don't know anything about Tor. And very little idea of the tracking, what it is and why it's such a big deal. Why it's such a big deal. And somebody who does know it says, I'm going to move along now. Thank you. Something may happen. I've really, the thought, because I expressed it to, did I express it to Chris? I expressed it to somebody recently. Did I say it Saturday, Friday? I don't remember. I'm trying to pass out the cards and try to get it to a large number of people, because I would like to have, obviously, somebody, I want, you know, fundamentally, I want somebody else to work with me, especially someone else who's the face of this, because it takes too much time to do this. I see the stumbling I'm doing on technology. I don't want to, I got to stop that. But one of the possibilities that I would propose to somebody, say, okay, can you get me in front of, you know, you're part of an institutional church, a men's group, Sunday school class, whatnot, especially. How about, you know, especially, you know, especially men, young men, especially if that's the at least the dominant part of this particular group. Go to them, show them the video. You know, with little introduction, say, just watch this, show them the video, and then when it's over, simply ask any questions. And then do dialogue. Not give an oratory, not, I want to tell you this, that, and the other. I want to interact with you on things that you are thinking about. What's on your mind? Let's address that. I'm not trying to lead you. I want to interact with you. I want to do that. I think that'd be delightful. That would probably be a better way to find somebody who says, yes, I'm interested to be part of this. And, you know, I was reminded, two things I was reminded of. I watched the modern day slavery video over, I think it was over the weekend. Or was it a few days before? Because maybe I said this already. I watched it and I listened to the words, which shocked me. I mean, it really did shock me to realize that I wrote those words. It really got to me. The other thing that was reminded of, when you listen to that video, part of the reason of doing it where it's just audio, I used stock photos except for the last 30 seconds or so. But so it was just photos, and I did the voiceover. Because I did the voiceover by standing right over here. I took my mic, brought it over there, stood and recorded it there. But you know, you have this, what's it, 14 minutes of audio. It took a whole lot longer than 14 minutes to record that. Because there were places where, okay, I didn't say that clearly. And there's some places I still didn't. You know, the one that really gets to me is when I talk about the Ivory Coast. And I say, it's 1.5 million are enslaved. And I say, and it comes across as, I say, 1 million and half of those. No, it's 1.5 million. But either way, so it's only 500,000. That's a lot of people. But so that didn't come across clear. But you know, the script is there. But the other thing is, when I mention my points and of, you know, what I'm after, what I need, the fifth point is someone to mentor, to take over, to make this their own. I think I recorded that line probably at least three times. Because I remember, I think the first time I did it, I had to stop because I was in tears. It broke me apart. Because I think about what will happen if I find somebody who says, yes, you have Shofar Nexus, I want it. I want to make it mine. I want to find that person. And as I say, I'm giving him hell on earth. Because taking that you know, you have to, I have to find the person with the right character. Because it'll rip him apart. I know this quite well. It's going to rip him apart. The advantage I hope that person has, that young man, hopefully a young man, so he has time to make it grow, is he has more of a foundation than I did. Of course, I'm not building on, you know, nothing. I'm building on, in essence, the people who developed, you know, for example, the people who developed C, the language I write in. So many of the things that were done for that, the people who generated the basic HTML protocol, email protocols, a lot of this stuff is ingenious for its time. Because of its durability, flexibility, and things of that nature. I'm not trying to add whiz-bang features to it. I'm trying to use the core and that durability aspect of it. But then pass this to somebody else. And it's going to cost them. And it concerns me what it's going to do to that person. And rip them apart. But anyway, I passed out some cards. In two cases, when I pass out the card, and you look at the expression on the face, and the sometimes it's, oh, thank you. Maybe that might be interesting. Sometimes it's, there's something more in the expression. And there are some people that I'm, anyway, Lord willing, I'll be at the top of Big Frog Mountain on Sunday. Lord willing, I won't be alone on this project in the not-too-distant future. You know, and last thing. You know, I make the argument, especially with the sex slave thing. It probably only addresses 1 out of 1,000. But it's a lot of people. But it's the reconciliation aspect, which again is only 1 in 1,000 or less. But the number of people that are there that need that or want it is phenomenal. And the beauty of this, if I can deliver this, if the Lord will grant me that gift, and it happens, I have no desire to know who they are, and I have no desire for them to know me. Because I'm not building me. I want to reflect my Creator well. I want my left hand not to know what my right hand is doing. Or is it right hand, left? Whatever it is. It's in the Bible. Oh, there were so many things we discussed. Oh. That's another. I had some I won't go into that today. Marvels. I find this Bible thing very interesting. It was a significant weekend. And the relationships with people are the most important. And the one thing that I may be able to point to is what may transpire Sunday. My lady, my wife, please inform George. I know you won't get this, but please inform George. I sent him a postcard today. I'll probably get it back in a week or two when I'm hiking with a guy that's pretty close to George's age. This Sunday, the plans. I want to hike with George. George is my son. I love my George. And I love my wife. Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife. I love you and I want you back.